Are we good? I want to give a quick email here. This blessed me this week. This is from France. I won't share the personal parts, but I'll share the part that I can. Just for encouraging one another in the Lord, we have to keep encouraged, right? And sometimes we get these emails and I try to write back and I can't for some reason. It clicks back and it won't let me. So please don't be offended if I don't email you back. I've tried, but I read every single one. But I wanted to share this with you. She found this our channel 6 to 8 years ago when she was researching on the topic of narcissism, covert narc to be exact. Then I'll skip some. You taught me so much to the point I'm almost an expert on that topic. She smiles. I suffered, did not understand why God allowed it, but now I'm grateful because it helps me so much recognizing all the traits, whether it's preachers, politicians, media, and so on. Isn't that the truth? We are in a narcissistic age. Full disclosure, narcissism is everywhere in these last days. So that was just a side note. The real reason for my email is that I'm in total agreement with your messages. I registered to your channel long ago, even activated the bell, so I don't ever miss one single message. What can I say, or rather, how should I say it? You have not only a backbone, but you are gifted with spiritual discernment, something that's seriously lacking in our churches today. All the topics you share, Agenda 21, 2030, the NWO, the WEF, AI, Hegelian dialectic, MK Ultra, and the list goes on. You just are confirming everything. And this is what I love. You just confirm everything. And that's what I love is you're doing your own research, and then I come along and it confirms what you're learning. And that's the way it should be. This part blessed me too. Often I tell my 16-year-old child about the stuff going on in the world, and then I see you post a new video. I make sure my son listens to it. Isn't that awesome? I love it when the younger people are learning and growing right along with their parents. And it's like you're confirming to my child the very things I shared with him. The goal of my message is to encourage you. I love your humor and your humility. I love that you came out of the word of faith and you speak against it. I have yet to hear from your channel a message that is not 100% sound, well, hallelujah, 100% biblical, and I've listened to many. Keep up the good work, Roberta. Church pastors are not equipping God's people for the perilous times ahead, but you are, and we know how the book ends. God wins. Sending you, your family, your church, and your close ones all my love from France. So I wanted to share that with you. Another one, this is an update. This is a good update. We shared a couple weeks ago about this, how they were taking the Bible out of the school, the Davis School District in Utah. People stood up to that, and they've recognized the enduring value now of the Bible for school-age students, overturning its previous ban on God's Word. The district committee has determined that the Bible holds deep significance, which outweighs any concern about its violent or vulgar content. As a result, the Bible will be accessible to students of all grade levels in the district's elementary and middle schools. This reversal follows approximately 70 individuals who express their support for reintroducing the Bible to school libraries. See, there's times you gotta stand up. There's times you gotta speak up. And the district removed the Bible based on one complaint from a student's parent. So they brought it back in. There's more on that article I'm not going to get into, but I just thought that's encouraging because it only takes one sometimes to bring things down. So Christians, it's time, especially where you have a voice, speak while we still can, right? Open your Bibles to John 15. We're going to go there in a second. And I kind of want to connect the dots of some chaos that's happened and what we're going to see in the future, what's going on. We need to prepare people for the agendas that are here and that are coming. And if the more facts you get, and this is what I've done in the last, 10 years? I used to just preach a couple scriptures and be motivational, like, No, this isn't the day for that. This is a day to get as much information as you can, because the Bible tells us these things, and I like to take what's going on in the world and what the Scripture says, because this is for us today. There are certain stories that we're going to go into Ezekiel and about covering of the mouth, how this was a symbol, and are we seeing that today of the covering of the mouth and what it really means, what it meant in the Old Testament. And all it's like there's everything's in the Bible. Sometimes you got to dig for it, but we're going to look at that towards the end here. But from the 1992 Earth Summit, there came two documents that we need to know about. This is not made up or some kind of fantasy or some kind of tinfoil hat thing. Because any kind of truth, they want to control the narrative. And if you come against the narrative, there's even laws being passed now. They're trying to pass in Canada for questioning different things. What was it? Can't help me, can you? Because you don't know what I'm talking about. The Jewish thing, the Holocaust. That you can't question the narrative on that. So it's like, wow. They don't want you to think outside of the box. And there's a lot of things we don't know. We don't have all the history of everything. We only have bits and pieces. But the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we do our best to just stay on the narrow path and encourage people, because the day is evil. But the Lord is with us. He said he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's not given us a spirit of fear. And the enemy wants to get everybody afraid, to live in fear, live in paranoia, be silenced, be captive. And we just have to do what God's telling us to do. Be obedient. Just like Ezekiel, we're going to see what he did. So there's two documents that came from this 1992 Earth Summit. The first one is Agenda 21, which we've talked about a lot. Go look it up. Go look up the 17 sustainable goals and then try to look through what they're really saying, because they use words that sound so wonderful, but it's everything's sustainable, which we talked about last week, which is one of their little words. And the second one is the Biodiversity Treaty. So the summary of these is the world leaders, and remember, this is the people God talked about in the book of Revelations, the kings of the earth, the anointed, the kings of the earth come against the Lord and his anointed, the merchants of the earth. There are people that are trying to run the world, and the leaders, and they're anti-Christ, they're against Christ, and we're going to see more and more as we read John 15 here in a second that if they hated him, they're going to hate us. And we see the persecution more and more. It just starts off in stages. I was studying the five stages of persecution. I'm not going to share it today, but we're right in there because they target people. But the summary of all of it is the world leaders on every level, they want to be need to be transformed into top-down control. In other words, they want to have, and I remember seeing that picture of someone on the top controlling, like it was a puppet on the economy cover. Was it 2021 maybe? 2020. Something like that, but it was like, whoa, they're showing things in plain sight if you know what you're looking for. But the world leaders on every level need to be transformed, they said, into top-down control. And what do they want control over? Housing, food production, energy, water, private property, education, population control, gun control, medical care, social welfare, etc., etc. We are starting to see this. Before, it was just in a document. But now, in the last few years, we are seeing some changes. To mask their real intentions, sustainable development became the new buzzword. If it's not sustainable, you can't have it. Wood-burning stoves, not sustainable, can't have it. Gasoline cars, they're saying it's not sustainable. Get a battery you can't get rid of, those lithium batteries. They still don't know what to do with those batteries, but it's not sustainable. So everything becomes an agenda. So these change agents, people say, what is happening? Even people that when I went back home, and they were like, what's going on? People in the world know what's there's something, but they don't know what's going on because nobody is really telling them the truth of what is going on, and they don't understand that we are living in a Marxist, fascist type of situation now where we've never grown up, we've never had this before. So they have change agents, they call this in the Rules of Radicals, Saul Alinsky. These change agents will promote, what do? They promote socialism. And I want to give you a red flag for churches. They're bringing these into churches. And if you start seeing this, you need to run. Because this is part of the agenda. This is part of the apostate churches that are going to be big. I always go, if they're big, they're usually bad. And I was a big part of the mega churches. Our church was a big mega church as well. These change agents will promote socialism, global governance, planned economies. And what does that mean? That means that they will decide which businesses are essential. Now, we saw that when we went through all this other stuff. They tell you where you can go and when you can't go. And as a result, a lot of the mom and pop stores are no longer even here. But they decide which businesses are essential. And what really happens and what is happening, which is what also happened in the book of Ezekiel, is we're seeing captivity. We're seeing freedoms being taken away in the name of different things. Carbon footprint in the name of sustainable whatever, on and on you go. You need to see through these agendas and see our world is really changing. You hardly recognize things anymore. From when you grew up, it was so safe just to go take a bike ride. And, I mean, now they want bikes. They want flying cars. You saw that yesterday, how they introduced the flying car. The Jetsons are here. I wonder how they knew about all that. They plan so far in advance. And I used to always wonder, I was in fashion merchandising for years, and that's what I thought I was going to get into. I was like, I wonder who makes the fashions. Oh, I don't know. They need to be fired, whoever they are lately. Have you ever seen some of their, runways? And people wouldn't even wear those things. I mean, it's not normal clothing. It's just this bizarre, weird stuff. But anyway, we're seeing less and less. We're seeing more and more things being taken over, and we're seeing more corporations telling people what to do, and mom and pop businesses going out. And now, as a result of what happened a few years ago, we're global citizens. We're no longer... They want to make you global. Everything goes global. We went to the Pancake House a couple days ago. We were the only whites in there. And I love interracial. If you know, I have it on. But it was really weird. I felt like I was in a foreign country. We were like the only white people there. And I was just like, and they were all dressed up in their garb and stuff like that. And Minnesota's huge for diversity. And I don't know where they're all coming from, but oh, Lord. This is part of the agenda too, right? Why are you laughing? It's like, uh-oh. What's the end game? This wasn't even my message. I just threw this in here. The end game, I just thought, I got to bring this back up because we have to get these two documents because it's going to explain as I go forward. But the task of what they want is a single world culture. They want a one world. And like in the book of Genesis, God didn't want, he wanted different nations. But they want a one world, and they want to have a leader over that and a dictator, as we know, which is the Antichrist. And we're stepping towards the beast system. We were born in it, so it's not like, oh, it's new. And it's not going to happen overnight. This is little by little by little by little. When I first started learning this, I thought, oh, no, it's over. It's the end. It's just little by little. They planned these things years and years ago. But the end game will be to take away parental authority as we're starting to see new laws come. And this is not new either. I remember in the 60s, we really had those rock and roll groups, and a lot of us rebelled against our parents even back then. So this isn't new, but you're seeing it in different new. You're starting to see if you don't agree with your child changing, let's say that, I can say it safely, into certain things. You can have your child removed from you. We're coming into some new territory here that has been their end game, but it's going to take away, they want to take away parental authority, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and that's the one thing I want to share tonight or today or wherever you're at, is we have a voice and we still have to use it. And the enemy wants us to be afraid to speak. There's times I'll put out a YouTube and I'm like, am I even going to be on there again? Because I feel like this is the time we have to talk. We have to share. We have to let people know what is going on. Because a lot of these churches, they're afraid to lose people and they're afraid to offend people. We can't be afraid to offend people. They're going to be offended anyway. I'd rather stand before God telling them the truth, because we all have decisions that we need to make as things come more and more. And there is a part two that I believe is coming. What we just went through, I know there's more. They want to do climate lockdowns. And they're telling us now the smoke that we've experienced, it was terrible the last couple weeks. The fires from Canada, it's just like, okay, this is your new normal now. You're not going to have a good summer. Everything's going to come and go with smoke. Freedom of speech. And establish hate crimes that criminalize biblical Christianity. Now, this brings us to John 15. If the world hates you, in verse 18, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, think about what the enemy's trying to do is to bring in hate crimes, hate laws. And right here he tells us that they're going to hate you. And why? If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. But remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. He said they're all going to do it in his name's sake. In verse 22, I'm just going to skip through this, read this on your own. But now they don't have a cloak for their sin. Because Jesus told them who he was, they didn't like it. Now there's no cloak, they can't hide. They want to be in darkness. And we walk in the light. So when you walk in the light, it reminds me, before I was a Christian, my aunt and uncle were born again Christians, and I wasn't living right. I just wasn't a Christian. And I didn't like being around them. I was like, and they didn't say anything. It's just because they were of the light. And then when I got saved, I hung out with them all the time. You know, some like our neighbors, it's like, oh, they know that this is what I do. And they're like, okay, we, you know, and just like, I don't judge you. I don't condemn you, but they just don't like to be around you because you're of the light. They don't have a cloak for their sin. Even if you don't say anything, your very presence and who you are speaks. When they know who you are. Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. And then verse 25, why did they hate him? They hated him. There was no cause. Same that why people are going to hate Christianity in the future. There is no cause. That they just don't want to have their sins exposed. They want to do what they want to do. So that brings what? Persecution. Now, tolerance is one thing. We're supposed to be, and we always have. You wouldn't believe all the prostitutes I've led to the Lord and different people, different whatever. I won't even go into it all. We love everyone. But forced acceptance is another whole thing. Yeah. And this is what the enemy wants. He wants to force things down everybody's throat. It's like a mafia. Christian views are under attack, extreme attack. We must be tolerant. But they are not.
Exactly.
And the extreme recruiting is here. And they say, if you know, we are here, I won't say it, but we are blank and we're here for your children. This is a real war. And parents, you better, you know, just not expect the school to teach your kids. You better learn. It's a new day. It's no safe place anymore. Some schools are not as bad as others, but there are some that are really under attack right now. And they call you a hater, under this Equality Act. Fake Christians will be getting along with the world just fine. Yep. Fake churches will be getting along with the world just fine. They're going to have their little rainbow, whatever they want to call it, all over the place, and they're going to get along just fine. But those that are trying to walk in a balance of love, not just everything is love, 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 but true love. When you walk with the Lord and try to be obedient, and you do love people where they are, but you also share with them so they don't have to, you know, die in their sins, right? Aren't you glad someone shared with you? But it's going to be harder and harder. And I was kind of concerned about that. And I was telling my brother, what's going to happen? He goes, there's still the Holy Spirit. God knows how to get people saved. He got you, didn't he? So he knows what he's doing. But as the culture around us becomes more ungodly and immoral, we're going to see more hostility, more anger and violence, because we were a Christian nation. Then it was a post-Christian, and now it's almost like anti-Christian, right? So they're going into different stages, and people just do well and do better under that kind of a culture. Now there's just, everyone's getting lost, there's new laws, there's new addictions coming, there's new bills being passed with marijuana and different stuff. You think people are driving bad now. Wait till they're high and they're hallucinating. And Kathy said they already are. So we've went from a Christian culture to a post-Christian culture to an anti-Christian culture. And it's quite a bumpy ride, isn't it? Just since, what was it? I don't know what year it was, but we had a president that came in and absolutely changed everything and went upside down. And again, this is the Saul Alinsky. This is the rules of radicalism that's happening in our nation, in our nations. There's churches that are going to do very well in this kind of a culture, and those are the ones that are going along with the agendas. And you better know what the agendas are, and you better know who's teaching you and who's teaching your children. And the world's going to love them because they're running on the same track as the world. Okay? If you're a good parent, a good grandparent, a good leader, you have to prepare people for persecution. You say, well, that's not going to happen in my day. Well, it's happening all over the world. And the West, they say, is next. We just have to prepare. The false teaches them how to avoid it. The false teachers just teach you how to prosper. We're having a big prosperity thing that's on every TV station, channel, coming to our city, was it next month? And all they talk about is being prosperous. We need to get people saved. This is a day that we need to let people know there is a heaven and there's a hell. Which, are you prepared? But the false churches just want to avoid any kind of trouble, any kind of anything that's going on in the world. They just live in some kind of a fantasy world. And it's hard to come out of it. Because when you've been taught all this and you're just taught this humanism, it's humanism, it's all about you and all your gifts and what you can do, you just get puffed up. You just get puffed up. We were with someone a couple days ago, and they were in this message, and they just feel, you could just feel that they put you down. They have to be on top, and they have to just kind of, how great they are. And it's just that whole word of faith thing. I just can't stand it. It's a spirit. Yeah. But here now we're seeing Gnosticism, and that's what the word of faith is, Gnosticism, and the pagan mysticism. And Alice Bailey said, if you're not a mystic, you won't make it. Well, it's true. The mysticism is huge. You're not going to make it in the world, but we're in the world. We're out. We're called out of it, but we don't want to be a part of that stuff. We want to just walk with the Lord. And I was telling this girl that's in it. Actually, I led her to the Lord, so I feel responsible for her. I said, it's not a formula. Walking with God is not a formula. And she felt bad because she has cancer. She had cancer, and she didn't want Jesus's healing to go to waste. It's all these heavy burdens that this message puts on people, that if they aren't healed, it's their fault. They didn't confess it enough. They didn't do this enough. It's always something, or I got to get more wisdom. I got to get more wisdom. We're living in a world, the outward man perish. It perishes. I don't know how it's going to perish, but they're giving us a lot of help with all the chemtrails, geoengineering, stuff in our food. They're giving us a lot of help here. we probably would have lived a long time. But all this stuff helps to have our outward man perish. But the inward man is renewed day by day. And that's what we have to keep doing in this world. We have to keep renewing it. Keep renewing it. Keeping your mind on the Lord. Bad news will come. You can't just focus on it. And don't let the TV brainwash you. People are in trauma. They're in total trauma and fear porn. They're just so afraid of everything. And I remember when all this stuff first started happening, it was like a spirit of fear just swept the whole world. You're going to die. You're going to die. And they took a long time to plan this, if you ever watched Event 201. And some of the other things, we're not done yet, folks. But if you're prepared, you're not scared. All right? You're not going to fall for the problem. They give this the problem, and we have a reaction, then they give us their solution, which their solution would have never been accepted without the problem they created. Amen. That's a Hegelian dialectic that she was talking about. So Revelations 17:5, Babylon is called Mystery Babylon, and read that if you can. We don't have time right now, but Babylon is called Mystery Babylon. And what does Babylon mean? It means confusion. And where the enemy is, there is confusion, there is division, there is strife, and there's every evil work. So Babylon is confusion. And mystery, listen to this, and we're going to get into this Ezekiel, this last scripture I want to give you here in Ezekiel 12. Babylon means confusion. And mystery, in the Strong's Concordance, means, get this, a secret or mystery to shut the mouth. Through the idea of silence imposed by initiation into religious rites. Mystery, making willing slaves through occult ritual programming. Now, this stuff used to be kind of way out there. No one believed it. Just turn on the Super Bowl halftime and you'll see all you need to see. Everything's in plain sight right now. It's no longer hidden. Things are coming out. It's the idea of silence. Masking has played a very important role in occult rituals. And that always bothered me. They didn't use the number 7. You had to stay 7 feet apart. You had to stay 6 feet apart. Mm-hmm. Everything was 6 in a circle. Remember all this? Yeah. Just don't forget. Don't forget what we've been through. It symbolizes the death of the old identity into a new identity. An initiation into a new order. It's the idea of silence. Symbolism is used in the occult. The masses are not to know the true meanings behind these symbols. They are hidden meanings behind these symbols. And I have a YouTube, You Shall Know Them By Their Symbols. Maybe, Mark, you can put that below. It goes more into detail how it is their secret language, but their logos tell you who they are. That's why I switched. We had a fleur-de-lis back in the day. I was into fashion, you know. And then I realized, this is not a good logo to put that. That goes way back. No, we're not using that one. Now, Deuteronomy 4, 15 through 19 and 23. I'm going to condense this for you. God warns not to worship something that man can control and worship. Don't reduce God. Don't reduce God to something that can be controlled and worshiped. Remember, they did the golden calf. Well, he warns them not to worship the sun, not to worship the moon and stars, or any beast on the earth to corrupt themselves. Well, a lot of these logos, you'll see the sun god. You'll see stars. Look at celebrities, are stars. All of this stuff is, they worship people. They worship stars, the Hall of Fame, the stars. Nothing is hidden, but rituals, they use face coverings to hide identities. So we're seeing here that there is an Antichrist system that's here, that's revealing itself more and more to the public. And were we in a huge, massive initiation? Some people would say yes, some would say no, some say, I don't know, think about it. Let's just keep going here. It means to cover one's mouth, to suppress the free voice. to give up and submit. Mm-hmm. It symbolizes submission. So here in Ezekiel 6, let's look at this. This is a very important scripture. The Lord said unto me, talking about Ezekiel, that this is a rebellious house in verse 2. And this is just like today. History repeats itself. And so does the way they destroy countries. They rinse and repeat. They've done this in Venezuela. They've done to different countries. And it's the same kind of thing. So we should learn what history says, but it's hard to get truth. It's hard when you're just being told the narrative and you try to do research and people think you're kooky, nutty, weird because you don't believe them. Mm-hmm. Well, the more you research and find things, the more you say, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. Well, God gives us eyes to see and ears to hear, but there's a lot of people that don't want to see or hear because they only want to believe what the television tells them about everything. And as a result, they became traumatized and they became fearful, and there are worse things going on. Trust me, there's definitely a lot of sickness and disease and a lot of things going on, but along with it is a lot of fear porn and a lot of occultism and a lot of rituals. And we have to learn the first time around because they're going to do it again. Yep. It's a rebellious house, which they have eyes to see and see not. Isn't it hard when you try to talk to somebody that's been brainwashed and you try to explain to him about the agendas that we're living in and what to prepare for? And to me, it's like, you know, death, where is your sting? Okay, the worst thing that can happen is we die. Well, we're going to a better place, right? And we have to be totally okay with, okay, Lord, no one wants to die, but because you know the Lord, because you know he's got you, and your days are numbered, the devil can't take you before your days are up. I just believe that. You got to run your race, unless you do something stupid and run out in front of the car and you get run over. But, you know, normally just doing what you're supposed to be doing, yeah. Our life is in his hands. Yeah. He gives us strength. Yep. He helps meet our needs, right? But there's a lot of people that have eyes and they can't see. They have ears and they don't want to hear. They're rebellious. They want to do what they want to do. Okay, this is the verse 6. Now, God uses symbols too. God uses signs too. And that's why the devil copies them. He said, I will be like the Most High God. He wants a throne like God. He wants everything like God. But he can't create. He only destroys. Well, now with this new technology, he wants to bring in transhumanism. He wants everyone chipped. And everyone will say, oh, it's so convenient. You don't need your credit card. You don't need this. You just walk by. You just have a... The young people are the ones we got to educate because they can't wait for all this technology to happen. And they have no idea the traps that are laid here. But here he said, in their sight shall thou bear it upon thy shoulders and carry it forth in the twilight. In other words, he had to do some things. He was a sign. God uses signs. This was a sign that they were going into captivity. This was a sign that they were going to be ruled by their enemies. They were no longer free. Thou shalt cover thy face, that thou shalt see the ground. You shall not see the ground. For I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. What? They were rebellious. They were not obedient to the Lord. And as a result, they got captured. They became slaves. And he said in verse 11, say, I am your sign, like I have done, so it shall be done unto them. Silenced, slavery, prisoners, captive. Like as I have done, so it shall be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. Why? Because they were a rebellious house. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear. They wouldn't obey. And as a result, their enemies captured them, right? The Lord asked Ezekiel to cover his face. Why? It was a sign that Jerusalem would be taken captive, and it was a symbol of slavery. When everybody in the whole world got masked, it should have shook you up. Because this was totally, and you felt shamed. When you put that thing on, you felt like There's just something, and people are still doing it now. They're so comfortable with it that they don't feel safe without it, right? And do what you want. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm basically talking about the symbolism of what it could mean, especially to the nations of the world. This is, can you see the captivity and how they had to put them? I mean, to me, this was just like, wow. It was a sign that Jerusalem would be taken captive, and it was a symbol of slavery. In the commentaries I read, the covering of thy face was a great sign of fear. And you can see people now where there's not supposed to be anything really going on. They're fearful. And they wear these coverings because they're fearful. They're afraid. They have all their kids, and everyone's just afraid now. They've been traumatized. And more is coming. They're saying, they're predicting more things are coming. Just hang on. And the main thing is, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. And now that I know this stuff, I look through their plans, and you don't become afraid because you know what the enemy wants. He loves to control people through fear. If you read any of the books on war, they love to terrorize people. They love to use terror. And God said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. God hasn't given us that spirit. So where's it coming from? The television. Shoot the TV. No, but seriously, there was a time when every time you turned on the TV, it was so depressing. It was just like, oh, 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 oh. So in the commentaries I read, the covering was a great sign of fear and terror and confusion. In the secret societies or the synagogue of Satan rituals, the goal is to take initiates out of their normal lives. Think of this. Break them down to submission. Return them to a new normal. I kid you not. These are their words. Synagogue of Satan. The goal is to take initiates. They initiate them out of their normal lives. Break them down to submission. Return them to a new normal. They cannot return to their old lives and ways once they've gone through the rituals. What have we been through? There's people that are still depressed and are isolated. And they're talking now about climate lockdowns. And if you read 1984, you see the masks never totally go away. And you see that they want to get rid of the Bible. So they had to hide them under the, was it 84? Am I talking the right book? They hid the Bible under their floors because they wanted to take away the Bible. Well, we're seeing some of these signs. Is it going to happen overnight? No, but be aware. Our grandchildren is what we need to be praying for. Not so much ourselves, as what they want to do now is just increase taxes, increase financial insurance, because they want to bring in the digital currency and they want everybody under this control. So we're seeing it. If you can't see it, you don't have eyes to see and you don't have ears to hear, right? And you're rebellious because God's trying to warn us. He tells us things that are not pleasant, because he wants us not to be deceived. So I'd rather know what's coming rather than a lot of people that just say, oh, that's just so negative. You're just so negative. Well, guess what? Jesus was negative. This positive religion is antichrist. It's not of God, this positive faith. And you can't have anything negative in your life. I was talking to this guy and I go, yeah, getting old is kind of a struggle. Oh, no, it's not. Just rebuke me, you know. You can't have a negative word. You can't face reality with these people. They're just weird. And I used to be one of them. Did you? We were all weirdos. But we've come out now. All right, I'm trying to close. God says, fear not. He's called you. He's chosen you. He's with you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. And he knows you by name. So what do we need to do? We need to be informed. And this is what is not happening in our pulpits right now, because people don't want to offend you. Well, Jesus said, the reason why I'm telling you, I think it was in John 15, the reason why I'm telling you all of this, that they're going to hate you, is, you know why? You won't be offended. Because when this stuff happens, God, where are you? Why is this happening? Why are you allowing this? He wants us to know, as the Antichrist comes in his position, the beast system, you can't buy or sell. We know that that's in there. We don't know when it's going to happen. That we are not to be offended. that we will endure to the end. We're God's soldiers. We're going to stand. We're going to do whatever we can, and we're going to stand. And just like these people that overturned this Bible thing, wherever you have a voice, speak, because the enemy wants your mouth covered. He wants you to live in fear. He wants you not to say anything. He wants you to preach messages that are just flowery and so sweet, and everybody wants to come. Jesus said, you want to leave too? That's the Jesus we serve. He goes, you don't like my message? You don't like me? You want to leave too? He doesn't need his back, you know, like, scratch my back, I scratch yours. No, he told truth. Why? Because we're in a real battle. We have a real enemy. And we have to teach our children. This isn't just, oh, go to church and be, you know, oh, this is a great church. It's got, are they teaching you anything? Do you know what's coming? Do you know the agendas? Are you prepared? Are you getting rid of stuff that you don't need? Are you getting out of debt that you don't? There's some debt you have to have, and there's some you don't need to have. Walk wisely. We all have to walk wisely. There's a car I'd love to have right now, but it's not important right now. Why? Because there's some things you need, and then there's some things you want. Well, as the crunch comes, you're going to be glad that you were more frugal. Because when we were raised in the word of faith, it's like, spend, spend, God will send. It was terrible. I mean, we just were so covetous and greedy, and we just had to show off. You couldn't come to our church if you had a bad car. Yep. We had cool cars in our parking lot because they're all faith people. That is not Christianity. No. Anyways, don't get me going. All right, Father, we thank you. Help us, Lord. We have to make jokes of this because it is sad. But you created us for such a time as this. You knew we were going to be born in this day and age, and you don't want us deceived. And we know that the enemy hates you. And because he hates you, he hates your offspring. He hates us. But we thank you, Lord, that we know who wins. We know who wins. But we also know we have to prepare to stand, having done all to stand. In Jesus' name, everyone said?
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.